This funeral left this woman, number one, it left her without a husband. Here she is, she got no husband, Brother Ackley. Number two, it left her without a home. You remember when you was lost? You didn't have nobody to lead you. You didn't have nobody to feed you. You may have had a mom and a dad down here on earth, but you didn't have a home. You wasn't in the family of God. She didn't have a home. But then thirdly, she didn't have no help. Naomi told these two girls two times, turn again, go back. She couldn't get no help. Do you remember what it's like to be lost? Didn't have no help. Oh, but not only did she not have no help, she didn't have no hope. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said in verse number 12, I believe it is, she said, I got no hope. And boy, I tell you, remember when you didn't have no hope, you was going down, and it didn't seem like nobody was there to be able to help you out. Oh, but I'll tell you what God's in the business of doing. He's in the business of stripping everything that you've been hoping on. He's in the business of taking everything that a sinner's been hanging on to. I remember that night he took my liquor away from me. He'll take the religion away from you. He'll take your head away from you. He'll take it all and get you to a place that you've only got one thing. And you know what that one thing is? All she had is what she had heard. Glory to God. Do you remember when that's all we had was what we heard? Thank God for the man of God that got up in the pulpit and told us about the grace of God. That's all the girl had. All she knew about God was his judgment. She had done seen God kill three backslid men. All she had was his judgment, and she still wanted to go with him. Kind of reminds me of that old bootlegger that got saved back where we come from years ago. He got saved by the grace of God and stood up in a church service somewhere and was testifying. He said, you know, before I got saved, all I know there was a hell. He said, well, when I got saved, they started coming to my house having Bible studies. He said, you know, there's a real place called heaven and walls of jasper and streets of gold and gates of pearl. Hey, some of you, all you know there was judgment. Oh, but thank God that's enough to get us to the God of heaven. I get sick of this crowd that don't believe in the fear of God, that don't believe in hell anymore and the judgment of God anymore. I'm going to tell you, hell's still on fire, and if you don't repent and believe the gospel, that's where you're going to go when you die. But we've got a word from our Lamb this fabulous day that says you don't have to go, that says you can be saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Do you reckon some words had missed Naomi's backslid life? You reckon she ever told them two daughter-in-laws, y'all got the gods of the Moabs? I mean, y'all don't know nothing. You ain't never seen the glory of God fall in the church services we had back home. I wish my husband wouldn't have got backslid and brought us here. Oh, but you reckon some words after they died that maybe Naomi looked over at Ruth and said, I done heard that the Lord visited his people, and I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah, and get me some bread. I'm tired of living in a washpot. And maybe Miss Ruth said, well, if you're tired of living in it, then praise God, I am too. And if you're going with God, I'm going with God. Have you ever been influenced by somebody that was saved and there's a gone with God? Amen. And then they got born again themselves. Hey, she had a word from God. Here comes the bride right straight out of a funeral. These three deaths has got to take place. Three people in our text died, and I'm not going to compare them to Christ. I'm just going to give you three deaths that need to take place or you ever get saved. Number one, there's going to have to be the death of Christ, and it's already taking place. Hallelujah. He died on the old rugged cross that we could be saved, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I can't fathom that verse in my mind for nothing. I've tried to study it, tried to read it. I tried to pray over it. All I know is he wanted me more than I wanted him, and the great trade was made. I'd trade for a car and the transmission wouldn't work. I'd trade for a chainsaw and it'd be blown up. I'd trade for a shotgun and a firing pin don't work. Oh, but glory to God, that night I traded my sin for the Savior. I came out blessed. I came out on top. Glory to God, and the death of Christ. the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. But then, not only is there got to be the death of Christ that would get us to the Lord, but then you better start fearing death in hell. I've already mentioned that. But then there's dying to sin. You know what it is when God would save somebody? Sin's an issue. I don't care if it's liquor, drinking, lying, stealing, thieving, adultery, fornicating. I promise you, your sin is going to be made well aware to you when you get born again. Hey, thank God the preacher, I had liquor on my breath, beer in the back of my truck. And you know what the preacher did when I walked in that church that night? He preached against everything I'd ever done in my life. Hey, sin preaching don't grieve a Holy Ghost. It might bother some of these thin-skinned politicking people in our day, but it don't hurt God's feelings. It don't make God upset. It's still right to preach against sin. It's still right to drop the plow down. It's still right. Yes, sir. It's still right. Amen. To preach against lying, cheating. Amen. Long hair on men, short hair on whatever you want to call it. I got a good mind just to rear back and preach against everything right there. Amen. But I'm going to stay in my text this afternoon and preach, here comes the bride. Amen. I guarantee you she looked good too. And she's dressed right. And she's walking right. And she's talking right. And I promise you she's spitting white. Can't say that about most women back where I come from, but somebody say amen right there. You've got to die to sin. Yes, sir, here comes the bride. She's coming from her funeral. What happened to you 16 years ago, Brother John? I tell you what, that night I died. I died to my feelings. I died to my future. I died to myself. I said, God, I'm sick of it. And if what you said's right, and I believe every word of it, then praise God, I'm a-going with God. Hallelujah! The bride came from a funeral. Hey, the bride's going to have to experience some kind of dying before she ever make it to chapter number 2. Here comes the bride from a funeral. Number 2, we'll hasten on to chapter number 2. Here comes the bride, and she gets in a field. Oh, yes. She just happens to get in the right field. Amen. Owned by the right person. Amen to God. I like it. I feel like preaching up here now. Amen. I got several thoughts I want to give you on this subject, on the bride in the field. I want to show you who's that. She's mine. Hello, I'm Boaz. I'll take care of you. And mama, you ain't gonna believe who I met in the field today. Number 1, who's that? Here comes Ruth into the field. And old Boaz says, whose damsel's this? Hey, glory to God. Hey, man, I'm gonna tell you, he noticed her before she ever noticed him. Hey, I wanna say it again. God took the initiative when we wasn't looking for God. There's a God looking for us. Hey, thank God. When I wasn't interested in God, when I wasn't wanting God, he said, who's that? Who's that? I'm going to tell you, hallelujah to God. Hey, man, he said, who's that? I got one of my good friends with me in the building today. Oh, Brother Justin Cox. I remember when he noticed his wife. You know what he said? Who's that? I said, I don't know who in the world she is. Go ask somebody that knows. Oh, but when the Lord looked down where we was and said, who's that? He didn't have to wait for a response. He knew it, glory to God. He knew what we was. He knew where we was from. And he's still interested. Who's that? He inquired about her. I wonder what turned his head. I mean, I really do. What would that old Jew boy want with that Moabitess girl? What would he want with a Gentile dog? Oh, I got to thinking, oh, this Bible's so right. Who's that? He inquired about her. Do you remember? Do you reckon when Boaz saw Ruth, his mind may have went back to one day when he's sitting on his mama's knee, and his mama got to tell him about one time when she wasn't right with God, and she wouldn't know nothing about God, and two old fellas come into the city where she is living, and she walked up in the house, and they said, "We want to know what's going on." And in case you ain't getting where I'm going, you know who Boaz's mama was? It was Rahab the harlot. It was Rahab the harlot. Oh, do you reckon when Boaz seen that Ruth, he said, "Man, that reminds me of my mama. Hey, she wasn't a Jew. She got engrafted in the family of God. And that reminds me of my mama." Over to God, I'm telling you, hey, somebody hold my mule. I'll be back in a minute. I got to get to this good point right here. Hey, you reckon? And old Boaz said, "Man, I'm glad one of them Jews like my mama. I'm glad one of them Jews took my mama in. I'm glad my mama found somebody that loved her and didn't hold her past against her and didn't hold the fact of what she was. You better thank God we've got a God in heaven that don't hold our past against us. We'd all be in hell. We'd all be in the judgment of God." Well, let me read this. I had to write it down. I was too excited. Hey, man, you reckon when Boaz saw Ruth, it reminded of his mom? Rahab the harlot, you remember the story very well. How that Israel comes and they send the two spies in. They find lodging in a harlot's house. Amen. If that had been us Baptists, and rightfully so, we'd have got caught before we'd have went in them, we'd have died before we went in the harlot's house. These old boys, they feared their lives. And so they go in. And do you reckon this is the first time that Rahab ever had to hide some men? Oh, no. You reckon this is the first time that she'd ever had to let some men down the wall with that scarlet thread? Oh, no. It was a harlot's house. Hey, I guarantee you there'd been times when the man come in there out of the will of God and say, "Hey, my wife's out on the front door knocking. I've got to have a place to hide." She'd say, "I got the perfect place for you." And she'd hide them. And then they'd say, "Well, I can't go back out the front door. Help me get out of here." And she'd had it all lined out. That scarlet thread. Oh, but here comes two men that didn't want to have their way with her, that wasn't looking for no immoral activity. They're just looking for a way to get some victory, and they run across somebody that needed to be saved by the grace of God. And Brother Carter, she said, "Well, I'm ashamed of it, but I got a place I can hide you." And she hit them real good. "And I got a place I can let you down on this scarlet thread." Now, neighbor, I'm going to tell you right now, that scarlet thread she'd used before, and I know I'm preaching between the lines, but say amen anyways. And that scarlet thread that was condemning her has now went from condemning her to setting her free. And the same law that said you're going to hell is the same law that Christ fulfilled, that we can be saved by the grace of God. The same God that said you're condemned is the same God that said you're free. Just a little rabbit I was going to run right there. Who's that? Well, she reminds me of my mama. I think I'm going to take special interest in her. But then, not only who's that, verse number 9 of our text, the bride's coming through the field. Verse number 9, he said, "Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" She's mine. You didn't get that, did you? She's mine. Hey, y'all don't touch her, she's mine. Oh, don't you remember when God came to where we was? He looked the devil in his eyes and looked the world in the eyes and said, "Y'all have had him long enough. Y'all have had her long enough. She's mine. He's mine." He got a little possessive over something that wasn't really his yet. And I'm not Calvinist, but I do believe God was working on us before we got saved. And I do believe in the providence of God dealing with us before we got saved, all right? And just well say amen right there. Nod your little Baptist head up and down. Amen. We ain't got no Calvinist doctrine, but we do believe in the providence of God. Hey, and I'm going to tell you, he got a little bit possessive before he ever married her. And he said, "She's mine." Amen. 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 Boy, and I'm going to tell you, God, Hey, amen. I would tell you that verse in the book of Hebrews where they said they minister and angels who shall be heirs of salvation. If y'all could have seen me two nights before I got saved, I couldn't even pick myself up, putting myself in my own truck. I was so messed up. They picked me up, put me in my own truck. I don't remember driving home, got home, passed out, went back and done it again, Brother Van Giller. Oh, but you know what God was doing? He was keeping me alive long enough to get to that point where he'd say, he's mine. He's mine, oh my. He'd look at the devil and say, not tonight. He'd look at death and say, not tonight. Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah! Amen. Why? Because as he is. Hey, I'm glad I'm a child of the King, aren't you? I'm glad I've been born in the family of God, married in the family, born, adopted, saved, redeemed, regenerated, anything else you want to call it. But she got to the point. She's mine. Amen. Who's that? She's mine. Nobody else touch her. Then we back up to verse number 8. And then Boaz said, Boaz unto Ruth, here it is. Hello, I'm Boaz. Yes, I am Boaz. Can you see it? Oh. Now, Jesus didn't talk to us that way. Oh, but I'm going to tell you, when he spoke, said, this is the Lord talking to you. Hey, I didn't have to ask my buddy if that was God dealing with me. I didn't have to ask the preacher, who's this talking to me? He just said, hello, I'm Jesus. Hello, I'm God. Hey, the bride's in the field. Hello, I'm Boaz. Verse number 14, I won't take time to read it. I'll take care of you. Has it not been good to us? Has it not? Glory to God, Brother Bill. I salute you and I admire you. You're one of my favorites. I mean that from the depths of my heart. I want to pin a rose on you. Maybe one of these years I won't get to. You beat us on to glory. But I salute you, good man of God, for being a godly example to somebody like me. Hey, because I need all the godly examples I can get, brother. And I love you, and I appreciate you being a gentleman most of all. I really do. I appreciate that. But having God took care of you down through the years, I guarantee you if you'd testify, you'd say, he ain't never failed me. That's what I like about these older people, and I say that with respect, that some of us younger people say, if God took care of them, if God fed them, if God clothed them, if God helped them, if God endued them, then God can do it for me. If it's good enough for mom and daddy, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for the generation that we brag about, then it's good enough for this one. I'll take care of you. Oh, but then we move on. Here we go. The bride's in the field. She's left it. She's into the chapter here. She goes back to Naomi. This is what I like to call mama. I met the man of my dreams today. You ain't gonna believe who I met today, Miss Naomi. Who was it? I met a man by the name of Boaz. Can I testify for a minute? I remember the night I got saved by the grace of God. I went home that night, and my mama, she sat on the couch, and I walked in, and mother, I walked in the front door this time. I didn't ride down the road to see if all the lights was on. I just pulled on up in the front yard like I owned the place. Didn't have no liquor on my breath. I mean, I'd had previous that day, but God done a work. I walked in there, and mama said, did you get drunk? And I said, no, mama, I didn't. She said, what'd you do? I said, I went to church, and I got saved, and I just poured all that mess out. She looked at me and said, you sure you ain't drunk? I said, no, I'm not. Let me tell you about somebody I met. I like telling it. I like getting around people that done hurt it. Have I ever told you about the day when I got on the altar and I knelt and the blood felt? Have I ever told you about the man Christ Jesus? Have I ever told you about when the preacher preached? I met somebody today that's going to take care of everything. That's going to heal up the wounds and bind up the broken heart. He can put to you. You might not have all the pieces, but just give him what you got, and he can put it back together again. Here comes the bride through the field. Yeah. Then we hasten on to chapter number 3. The bride. Do you notice the progression? The further we go, the closer we get. She's come to from a funeral. She's come to the field, and that may be where we are as a church. We may be in chapter 2 or chapter 3. She's went through the field. But we come to chapter number 3. And the bride's now going through the fire. She comes through the threshing floor, verse number 2. Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. One of the main things you're going to have, if you're going to have a threshing floor, you got to have 2 things. Number 1, you got to have wind, and you got to have fire. That threshing floor, somewhere around that threshing floor, it was a place of vehement fire. So what they'd do is thresh out that barley and they'd throw it up and the wind would blow the chaff. And as soon as that chaff would be blown away from that which was right, the fire would consume it and burn it up. And there's going to be times of going through the fire. I love shouting and I love worshiping God. I really do. I'd just soon shout every time I come to church, but let's just be honest. I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, but it ain't always going to be a bed of roses and it ain't always going to be easy and always going to be shouting and running the pews and jumping worshiping the Lord. Ain't gonna be some times we come to church when we might not feel like going to church. Ain't gonna be times we're gonna preach when we might not feel like preaching and we're just doing it by faith. Oh, but without the fire, hey, the church ain't gonna have no God on it. Hey, the child of God ain't gonna have nothing that's of any value on it. I shouted for the first 2 years, God save me. Then one day after rebuking people for not shouting, how come you ain't worshiping? You got to be back. Said one day, the Lord let me take a step off the mountain into the valley. And I found out it ain't always easy to have a smile on your face and a skip in your step. And when the preacher gets up and says you ought to keep your shout when things are going bad, you'd be honest, you'd just soon get up and walk out the back doors to listen to what he's got to say. Just be honest right there. Amen. But without the fire, old Peter said, if needs be. You ever been through something, as soon as you get through it, or maybe on the other side, you'd look back and say, Lord, I don't understand everything you're doing, but I needed that. We did. Boy, God knocked all the rough edges off at one time. We couldn't take it. Amen. Oh, but if he'd like the master sculptor would chisel us, mold us and make us, and boy, and that's what God's doing. He's working on his church. He's ironing out every wrinkle, getting rid of every spot. One of these days, he's going to present us faultless before him. He's going to say, here you go, Lord. Here's my bride. I love her. Ain't she beautiful? But until then, we must go through the fire. I won't give 15 sad stories. I've got friends that have buried their children. I got a man, I love him with all my heart, and I won't even give the whole story for fear somebody knowing who it is, but his wife witnessed her son put a gun to his head and pull the trigger. I and that family are friends. As soon as I heard about it, I went. I hugged his neck, shook her hand. What could you say? You know, you think you got all the answers. Here, I got my King James. I got my suit and my tie on. You know, Evangelist Morgan is here. I can help you out. I got it all. Boy, and I'm going to tell you about the time you pull up. Everything you thought you was going to say, everything you planned on saying just takes wings and flies away. And y'all cuss Job's friends all you want to. I believe they're his friends. How many of us would have went and sat in a pile of ashes for 7 days and never said nothing? That's proof enough for his friendship to me. They might not have said everything he needed to hear. But the Bible now say, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And when a friend cuts you, it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt bad. Sometimes you just being there is enough. But I ain't got to have 47 million commentaries. They might not need us. They might not need us. I found that sometimes I've done more hurt than good trying to preach to somebody while they're in the fire. I watched a potter. I won't say too much about it. We've got expert potters here, but I asked one time. I was preaching on going through the fire, and I just asked one. I said, what about that? I said, how long's the cooling down process? He said, we don't even open the doors for the first 24 hours, maybe longer sometimes. He said, and after that period, he said, then we just crack the door. I said, you just don't go in there and get it and pull it all the way out? He said, no, it's too brittle. I wonder how many times we've went ahead and broken the vessel by putting our hands on it. Got all the answers? No, we don't. Just being there. Crack a door, then when it cools down, you put your hands on it. I see the bride going through the fire here. And it's them times, them hard times when you feel like giving up and quitting on God and saying, I ain't never going back to church. I ain't never saying another name. Boy, you'd feel that fire burning in your bones like Jeremiah. Fire. What does the fire do? The fire, it gives light. It's all in the text. I'm not going to take time to read the verses. It gives light. Number two, it improves the sight. You got fire, you're out in the middle of the woods somewhere. And I'd love to preach on it. I love to preach about how that Abraham took fire from his house and took it to Mount Moriah. And God accepted a sacrifice that was burnt with fire that came from home. Neighbor, I'm going to tell you, we better get the home fires burning, because if we ain't got it burning at home, it ain't going to burn at church. Yes, that's another message. Fire gives light and improves sight, but it'd build a fire and it'd keep the wolves and the lions away. Fire helps us to overcome fright. Fire will help you make it through the night. As long as there's a fire burning, you get in the nighttime seasons of your life. You know, it's the nighttime seasons where we learn the important lesson of our own individuality. Individuality. Who am I? I can't be you. You can't be me. God put us through the fire. You know what I've been praying here lately? I really had a burden for revival. And I've been praying that the Lord would let me go places, that God would give us a revival of definition. God define what this church is supposed to be. Define what this man of God's supposed to be. Define to this community where this church stands with you. And Lord, write the definition so big that if it's a rebuke, we'll take heed to it and change whatever we need to change. If it's a pat on the back, we won't let it go to our heads and get full of pride and lose your touch. Revival, boy, a fire. But you learn who you are. There ought to be a lot of soul searching during these times of going through the fire. Why am I doing what I'm doing? I really believe at the judgment seat of Christ, our works may be piled up. Fire may be to the side. I really believe that the Lord's going to take every work we've got and just scrape it off into the fire. And then I believe God's going to reach down into our bosom and pull our heart out of our chest, and he's going to put our heart right between us and him on the desk and say, this is what I'm interested in, is your motive. Yes, that's your heart. Amen. Boy, if we don't get out of the heart, the fire times down here, what God wants us to get out of, we're going to suffer loss at the judgment seat. Here comes the bride. I'm done. Number four. Here comes the bride with her fiancé. Here comes the bride, and somebody's barefoot. If I had enough nerve, I'd have preached on barefoot and with a child right there. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. It's in the text, praise the Lord. And I said it modest. Amen. Somebody had to take her shoe off for her to get redeemed. Oh, you got it. Praise the Lord. Yes. Number four, here comes the bride. Well, her Boaz. It was Boaz's will to marry her. I asked my wife several years ago, 10 years ago, 11 this coming June. I said, will you marry me? And why she ever said yes, I'll only find out at the judgment seat. I guess I caught her at a weak moment. She's mine now, neighbor. And some of you guys better say amen, because you caught your wife at a weak moment too, because I done seen both of you together. Praise the Lord, amen. But I asked her to marry me. We still wasn't married. She said, yes, we still wasn't married. You hearing me good? We got to the wedding rehearsal. We went to it. We still wasn't married. You hearing me good? That preacher looked at me and said, do you take this woman be your wife? I said, I will. We still wasn't married. He looked over at my wife-to-be and said, do you take him to be your husband? She said, I will. And when them two wills came together, hey, you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, about 6,000 years ago, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost standing over a man by the name of Adam, didn't have no breath in him. Maybe God the Father looked at him and said, you know what he's going to do? And maybe the Holy Spirit said, yeah, he's going to plunge a whole human race into sin. And about that time, Jesus said, just go ahead and breathe on him and in him, I will. Hey, I will. Before there's ever a sinner, there's already a Savior. You know that's right. And I'm going to tell you, you can sing them songs. There was a search made all over heaven all you want to. There wasn't no search for no angel, no seraphim, no cherubim. It was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus from before the foundation of the world. And 2,000 years ago, he said, I will again. When he got on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And 16 glorious years ago, I got on that altar and I didn't say it in word, but I said it in action. I will. And when our two wills came together, glory to God, it put us in an everlasting binding covenant that can't be broke, that can't be abolished, that can't be done away with. When the will of man and the will of God come together, it produces salvation. Here comes the bride. She got fruit. Praise God. How many of them's in the building saved and know it? Raise your hand. You know what we're looking at, Pastor Massengill? We're looking at fruit from the bride. Just well say amen right there. Every one of us is a direct result or an indirect result from a church. Yes. Here comes the bride. One day, praise God, we'll make it to the, I don't have time to finish the fruit. We need fruit in the church. I hope what I've preached tonight, today has made some kind of sense. Here comes the bride. I'm looking forward to that day when we get to see him face to face. Reminds me of the old woman lived on the islands. She lived for God for years, lived for him for years. Her family wasn't converted. They were Catholics. Come down for her to die. And they said, Mama, do you want to see the priest? And to their surprise, she said, yes. Priest come knocking on the door. They went back walking in the room. Mama, the priest is here. And he got there. And he prayed over. And boy, and he got done. Do you have any last words? And she said, yes. Let me feel your hand. He reached his hands down there and she felt them and she pushed them away from him. Said, you're an imposter. You're not the one I'm looking for. The one I'm looking for has got holes in his hands. You hear me? The one I'm looking for, glory to God, died on a cross. Hey, and when we see him, we're going to see him as he is. And when we see him, we'll see the risen Son of God, the crucified Lamb of God. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but I'm having a good time, glory to God. Here comes the bride. Father, thank you for the privilege, Lord, this feeble attempt, Lord, to preach, Lord, do what you want me to do. And I pray you'd take these thoughts. And God bless these people. And God touch Pastor Massengill. Lord, if nothing else, maybe just a little bit of study from the Word of God. It'd excite us and help us. Lord, I love you and I bless you. Thank you as the pastor comes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.